Amen. You may be seated. I cannot become too big to come here. It's not possible. Anytime you call me, I'm available. Every other thing has to be sacrificed to be here. Amen. It's a huge sacrifice for some of you for the past 30-something days, day and night. I have an idea of what you are going through just to touch God. And my prayer is that you will not waste it. And it's for that reason that I'm careful. Very careful about what I will say to you. Because the kind of season you are in, you don't need chaff. You don't need chaff. Meanwhile, there are aces here, but it's not obvious. That's the intensity of the labor. Yesterday, when I came in here, I took time to count the number of aces here and to gauge the capacity. And I was asking, what's going on? Why is this place hot? Meanwhile, it was raining. I came late because of the intensity of rain that followed me. So the weather was not that hot. But when I entered here, with all the aces, so that's the level of exertion, the level of expression. So you don't need chaff. So I will, as much as I want you to pray, but today, at the end of my message, you're going to be, your next 5 years, or whatever length of time, that will determine your next season, will be determined by decisions. So, where you are now is as a result of the decisions you have taken. You need to be very accurate with decision. You can labor in prayer and one decision. Let me tell you, you're a pastor in ministry. You've labored for 25 years. And you sleep with a sister. It's all over. Let me tell you one other thing. If you sleep with an ordinary sister, it's bad enough. But you sleep with somebody's wife, your ministry is over. You can still continue preaching. The moment David did it, if you read David, you will see him moving at a very fast speed. Each time you hear about David, he has advanced. The moment he did that, his advancement stopped. But he continued as king. But there is no further advancement. That's where you will be pegged. His decision. Alright? His decision. Romans chapter 12 is probably one of the best scriptures in the Bible. 12 verse 1. I beseech, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So my whole journey will end here. So I'm showing you the end before the beginning. Go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. I will just spend 45 minutes and I will stop because I need to give you time to take decisions. 28, 29. Let's leave this part. And if thy right eye offend thee, so your eyes can offend you, your eyes offend you when he refuses to be put to use how you want it to be put to use. It becomes an offense. Walk it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable that you go to heaven, not going to heaven now. But it's profitable that you enter the kingdom, a one eye man, than to enter a fool with your two eyes. Eh? Verse 30. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. It is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish instead of your whole body. Matthew chapter 18, verse 7 or 8. Now, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Verse 9. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Is there a relationship between the Roman scripture and this? Can you establish any relationship? Okay, we'll see. We'll see about that. One of the most profound statements that the preacher yesterday made is that a tongue-talking Christian, you can approach somebody that is praying and you won't find any weapons. And because of that, the person is afraid of war. That statement, that's what I took home yesterday. Many things, though, the word of God was coming like fire yesterday. Took home that you can meet a believer that doesn't have a weapon, and his lack of possession of weapon becomes the reason why he is afraid to fight. And he's a guy came and met me, just like Apostle was saying now. And when he narrated the kind of battle that was going on in his family, incidentally, he's from Anambra State. And since first you will go to your village. It's so bad that his father died and they had a burial. And he did not go. Initially, he said, I should come with him. I said, no, I'm a pastor. My job is to guide. I won't fight with you. My father in the Lord is known for liberation, deliverance. He did it all over Ebonyi State. Clash, destroyed altars. 30 years later, all those altars are back. Because the pattern is, if somebody will not get up from that family to do it, well, let's leave it. There's no need. The last thing I told my people, the last thing I will do is to come and do family deliverance. If you won't do it, we'll leave it. My job is to do my own. Because you think my own is done? Because I'm the one preaching. My job is to do my own, work with God enough to guide you to do your own. We are all warriors and we have different warfare. And I've not done fighting. That I'm fighting, I have fought, I have more experience or whatever, does not. So I say, no, this my relationship with you is not about me coming. I will never. If I will even appear in your house to pray, that it will be occasional. You're waiting for one. Ah, the pastor is coming. And everybody there. So I told him, in order for you to engage this kind of warfare. He's sober. Everybody knows who is causing the problem. They know who the person is. The man is not hiding. But nobody can challenge him. And the people he is oppressing are those people in the family that decided to serve God. Because he is an idol worshiper. And the idol he's worshiping is still there. And he's the priest. And he said, as far as his life, the whole family was worship this idol. And the people that refuse to follow that way are his victims. And they know he's the one killing the people. But they can't do anything. So, when it was time for the process of preparation to start, the young man is a guy man. He fries his hair. And he always does this WhatsApp status. You know, he will videoing himself and be doing like this. And be doing, you know, I don't know if you have seen those things. You know, he loves those things. And he takes more of his time. He videos food and posts. We are in this thing. You know all those kind of things. We are here. We are in Roban now. We are in shop right now. We are in mechanic now. So that's. I said, this is your warfare. They're not going to be fighting like this. So. Eh? Fasting. If you bring in fasting, is a challenge. Anything. His whole plan is to invite somebody to come and fight the fight. That's the kind of ministry my mother did. Today she is having health challenges. My mother is a pastor. She has pastored for many years, almost 30 years, in Redeem, in RCCG. She's pastoring people that don't pray. People that want to live in sin, but no prayer life. So she's, once battle starts, they will call her by 2 a.m. She will wake up and put her head. Put her head. Somebody is fornicating. The day his warfare came, you put your head. So they are just striking her health up and down. I say, let me tell you, God will not hold you responsible for offering your phone. I'm responsible to a few people. Very few people. I'm doing this ministry with wisdom. You can't come from wherever you came from with whatever you have and come. Then carry me and put aside your warfare. Maybe come with seed. Maybe come with talk. Come and lie down. Those things, it's good for those things not to be touching your heart. The only thing that touches my heart is when I see people praying. Somebody is serious to a point that the person comes to this kind of place morning and night. Leave everything. That's what should touch my heart. Not somebody crying and after crying. Eh? That's by the way. So, if a part of your body becomes a hindrance, Jesus said you should cut it off. What does he mean by that? Because those days, we try to cut off these things. We try to cut off these things, and they said that's not what he meant. What did he mean by that? In the issue of priesthood, one thing that reoccurs is sacrifice. It so happens that there are no many ministries teaching priesthood. There are just very few. And Revival Hub is one of them. Apostle teaches on priesthood a lot. People are quite privileged. Because we are doing a work on priesthood. And when I consulted the internet, very few. And the majority of the messages, nothing inside, nothing much inside. Is when I got a few of his messages that, you know, I saw him going deeper into the matter. So anybody that is in Revival Hub should not be a stranger to the concept of priesthood. And is a teaching that has gone on long enough here. And one of the things that reoccurs in priesthood is the subject of sacrifice. There's no priesthood without sacrifices. And when you look at sacrifice, don't let me not lose you. Just give me 10 more minutes. Eh? And when you look at the subject of sacrifice, you see that sacrifice is in degrees or is in levels. There's the sacrifice of your life. When the priest himself becomes the sacrifice, there's that song they used to sing. I don't know if you can play it. Accept this living sacrifice. Just if you can play it. If you cannot, somebody that can play it, just be giving me that sound. There's the sacrifice of prayer. There's the sacrifice of fasting. All levels of sacrifice. But the first is the sacrifice of your life. The priest will sacrifice his life for the service of the Spirit. That's the first condition you must meet. Because God will not accept your offering until he accepts you. God will not collect what you have in your hand or what you want to slaughter until he accepts you as a person. And it is that subject of sacrifice that brought about the concept of consecration. I think I'm done with my foundation lay. Let me say it again. It is that concept of a priest putting his life on the altar. That's where the concept of consecration finds its meaning. Because consecration is a life of restrictions. Restrictions from legitimate activities. Listen, consecration is not to stop you from committing sin. It is to stop you from doing things that are not necessarily sinful, but they are not needed in your line of service. In order for your service, if you came for 50 days of Pentecost, if you feel like sleeping, stand. I understand your weakness. Stand for a while. If you are here for the purpose of this meeting, one of the things that will be needed to make this sacrifice you are making count is, if you don't use your life for this and something else, there are many other things you can do with your life. God, in the process of consecrating you, begins to cut them off. Many of them are legitimate. Something like doing makeup, for instance. You know, the problem we had with makeup is that somebody was withdrawn from the life of makeup and they wanted to establish it as a doctrine. Because I have been withdrawn, it is a sin. Is not. I told my people, for instance, that if we go for a birthday party and people want to swim, even if it's only us in this ministry and there is swimming, people want to swim, that I will not enter. The reason is that thing I need to wear to enter, I can't wear it outside. Is it wrong to swim? But for me, it is wrong to wear that thing outside. Because I'm a priest. I can't wear boxers where ladies are. Cannot. Is it wrong to wear boxers where ladies are? A priest will have certain restrictions because this is the one God is using. You need to understand it. Okay. Numbers chapter 6. I don't know if you have good news. I hope. Go to verse 2. Pay attention. I don't want to teach all this. I don't want to make it technical. I want to make it very practical so that somebody here now can know what I'm talking about and how it relates to their life. The Lord told Moses to give the following instructions to the people of Israel. Any of you, male or female, who make a special vow. He used vow. I don't know. It's like it's King James that used consecrate. Try King James. Just switch. Yes. Either man or woman. Go back to Good News. Don't worry. To become a Nazarite. So a Nazarite is a kind of consecration. That's the kind of consecration that Samson had. Samson was a Nazarite. The other people that had that consecration in the Bible, like John the Baptist, he was a Nazarite. What's his name again? Samuel. What's his name again? Elijah. And dedicate yourself to the Lord. Verse 3, please. You shall abstain from wine and beer. There is a translation that use consecrate. I just want to see it and then we'll continue. New King James. Please put up New King James 1 and 2. Yes, when either a man or woman consecrates an offering to take the vow of a Nazarite. So, being some people say Jesus was a Nazarite, he was not. He was a Nazarene because he came from Nazareth. You understand? So, but let's leave that. Eh? If you have taken a vow to be a Nazarite, this is an example of a kind of consecration. You know your kind. Verse 3. Now go to Good News. Thank you. Eh? You shall abstain from wine and beer. So there are certain restrictions that will be in his part. You shall not drink any kind of drink made from grapes. What is not for you? Is there anything wrong with eating grape? Is there anything wrong with eating grape? Because some people are asking, is it wrong? That question is coming from certain things the Holy Spirit wants to separate you from so that you'll be effective in your line of service. It's not the same for all of us. Not even the yes, verse 5. Take maybe one or two verses. As long as you're under that vow, you must not cut your hair or shave, no matter how it scratch you. You are bound by the vow for the full time that you are dedicated to the Lord, and you shall not, you shall let your hair, of course, you shall let your hair grow. Verse 6. Your hair is the sign of your dedication to God, and so you must not defile yourself by going near a corpse, not even that of your mother. So another problem is that you can't attend burial if you are, whether your father is the one that died or your mother. Attending burial can create is what a living sacrifice is. Because they say, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. They are dead sacrifices. They are living sacrifices. This is the major research I had to do. Why did he say living sacrifice? Because if you read from the Old Testament, you see. No, let's continue. You can't attend burial, even if it's your brother or your sister. The moment, if Samson, where is your power? In his consecration. You hear what Samson told Delilah? If you cut my hair, his power is in his consecration. He said, as long as you are dedicated, stand up and hear what I'm saying. You won't see me here after tomorrow. So what I want to tell you is the part I have to contribute in this building. If you remove my part, the building will still stand. But you know now, There is no doubt that the word of God is very rich here. Even hear what the young man was saying. The word of God is, and it's not only him. You bring another person, the word of God is in your mouth. And he will not know what I have, because me, the thing is, if you're on the field, every teaching is relevant. It's when you are sitting in this thing, you just be writing notes. Most times I don't write, because yesterday's message, there was no need to write. I need to catch the spirit first. When I go, I will not get the recording for the jotting. This does not mean you should not jot. I'm saying me. The word the man, I don't know when next I will see the man. Okay, one more verse. As long as you're in Nazareth, you are consecrated to the Lord. So what is consecration? There are legitimate restrictions from legitimate activities imposed by the Spirit of God to make you effective in your line of service. It is a life that is dedicated completely to God. A life that is lived completely. Take note of the word completely, totally, to the service of God. And is done by putting restrictions on your part. Restrictions. As you grow in God, you come into different restrictions. The problem with Christianity is that we can do everything. Young man, have you found out what it is that you are not allowed to do? What are you not allowed to do in your line of service? If you're a Christian that can do everything, that's why you are powerless. You can attend club because it's not bad. You can everything. Is it bad to hug a sister? But you can do that. Everything. You are so, there's no boundary in your life. You are open to do everything. The moment God starts cutting off things from your life, it shows that you are beginning to advance in your Christianity, your service. It's not much about coming back to say, God, I'm sorry. Moses cannot go and strike the rock twice and come back and say he's sorry. Moses will die. Because at that level, I can go and sleep with a sister and come back and say, I'm sorry. I'll come and meet you, sir. You pray for me. Pray. Everybody pray. I told them, the day it happens, this thing, God will have to continue with somebody else. Then all of you have to go there. But I will remain alive and go to heaven and receive forgiveness and make heaven. But that line of service is jeopardized. How do I say this thing again? I'm saying one of the signs that you have met an effective Christian is that you will find out there are things they can't do. Those things they can't do is where those things they can't do are the areas, how do I say it? Those things they have been stopped from doing are the things that when they do, they can use their life in service to another thing, to another spirit. So God cuts them off from certain activities to make sure as long as they are alive, their life is fully into the service of God. And that's where their power is. The day you start violating your consecration, you start becoming powerless. So one of the decisions you need to take is to find out part of the restrictions God has put on your path in your service to Him, so that you become effective. For instance, I can't eat in a burial, I can't eat in a wedding, I can't eat inside a bus. If I take food to eat in the bus, everybody can be eating peacefully, but the God inside of me will be dying. Have you ever you are eating, you feel like you are committing sin? It's because of where God does not want you to eat there. If you are a priest unto God, God is very possessive about what, or jealous about how you live your life. If that sister, if a sister comes and dresses anyhow, opens up her stuff, you know, we can just talk about it. But if my wife does it, some couples, you see them at home, the wife will wear this thing. He say, no. Take it inside. Change this one. He will wear it. Say, this one still has something here. Change it. She will change another one. Say, is it that you don't have clothes in this house? Or she will change this one. There is one part of your laps. If you walk now, it will show. Well, what's the man doing? He's making sure that that package is reserved only for him. He doesn't want somebody, he doesn't want his wife to go outside in such a way that something belonging to him can become a public. That's a man. No? Do you know if somebody, you may not have married, or somebody hug the girl you want to marry, even this is your twin brother, hug the girl, you still be smiling with these guys and be looking and be boiling. What's that thing in you that is making you too possessive of somebody you care about? The person is too precious. The person cannot do anything with his life except the thing that you want. You got that thing from God. That's how God treats his priests. Cannot. God wants. Don't hug only me. Hug only me. Am I not enough for the hug? If I'm not enough, let me do more, Jimmy. Why are you hugging? Don't you know some men don't even want their wives to be talking to other men? They come. What are you talking? Don't you know you're a married woman? What are you discussing? No, I'm not encouraging this. To help your insecurity. But I'm trying to tell you what I'm talking about. It happens with you. This is a man trying to be overly possessive, overly in control of what belongs to him. He doesn't want to share with another person. That's why in your house, there is that cup or that plate or that stuff that, except when your father has said, bring water, that cup does not get away from there. Except when your father is around, the plate can have cobwebs. It is a taboo to take that cup to serve a visitor. It will look as if something bad happened in the house. The day you take your father's cup, as your mother is looking at you, your sisters are looking at you, it looks like something bad has happened for a cup. That's how important it is. God must use you only. Just the way that cup must be used only for your father's drinking water, God must only use you for his service. He does not want you to serve something else. So if you start doing something that looks like this will give you opportunity to serve something, say you won't do this again for the rest of your life. Is that not what some of your parents are trying to do? They want you to live your life for them. The woman wants to have a doctor and a lawyer. And this, he will force this one to become doctor against his own wish. Meanwhile, this one is a musician. He will force this one to become a lawyer. Meanwhile, he's supposed to be a pastor. The only difference between your parents and God, everything, to the point a grown-up man came 30 something years, and told his mother that he has found a house and he wants to leave the house and move into his own house. The mother said that, why didn't he consult her so that she will put her people to work and get him a house that is befitting for him? There are some mothers that are so, they want you to live your life for them. The only difference between them and God is that God also wants the same thing. But Paul says, is if you are reasonable. He said, it's your reasonable service. Your mother will force it. Fight. When it's time for you to marry. I'm telling you. When it's time for you to marry. I don't like talking again. But when it's time for some of you to marry, somebody will have high BP. Yeah? Somebody will have... What is... They come and meet you. What's the problem? It's Chidi. Chidi has vowed he will kill me in this life. What did Chidi do? He's not that girl he wants to marry. They are checking BP is high. It's no joke. BP is high that somebody wants to marry. And that thing, if you have a mother that does that, the only way to get out of that is to allow her to actually die. The day she knows you are ready to watch her die, she will wake up. Yeah. Satan will wait. That time you now go to your mother's grave and be cursing. I curse my brother. It's better for somebody to verse today and you'll be happy tomorrow than for somebody to be happy today, you will verse tomorrow. That's what some parents are trying to do, trying to get their children to live their lives for them. But they are doing it by force. But God will wait for you to choose that life. A priest of God, this is a lady that is serving God, praying night and day. God is using you. You wake up in the morning, wear bomb shirt, just because you want to buy something downstairs, so you can afford guys to be seen. You can afford people. Do you know what it means that you are serving God? I went to Dubai. First is that I did not see their women. Second is whenever you find them, you can't see anything except their eyes or their face. I worked in Abuja. I did my IT in Abuja. There's a woman I worked with for 6 months. I never saw her face. It's only her eyes. You can't see a call Muslim. Some of them are married. Some of them are married for years. I saw the one, she has finished having children. They're always covered. What's this thing about covering? Every time we see you, even when you are going to buy something, what is it about it? It's consecration. One day I was in Lagos. One of them, always covering like that, wanted to help me. And that gown opened. It's only leg that I saw. I say, is this what these people are covering? It's not this. If you see skin, if you, my brother, you should understand what I'm saying. If you see skin, it's not here where somebody has two bars of yam. It's my marketing. You have hairs. You are sampling hair. What is fine about the head? Hair that you should be covering. It's not as if cover it. Open everything. Sometimes I see somebody's wife that came to buy something. She's still wearing the nightgown. Only what her husband should see. You're a priest. You are serving God. And a man is touching your breast. It's a mistake. I know. I know his mistake. Something that God is using for his service. Another man opened it. Open bra. Touch. What you do? Do you even know who you are? It's only God that should permit the man that will get there. You should be so preserved. So preserved. The problem is that you are available to do everything. You are available for prayer. You are available for fasting. You are also available for clubbing. You are available for dancing. You are available for fornication. Yes. He did not say present your spirit. God is interested in the use. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I don't know now. The last two verses. I think maybe 19. Show me 19. I need to end now. What? Is the Bible? Yes.
What?
Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. God is very interested in your body. Just in case you think he's using your body to summarize the whole man, and in your spirit, which are God's. You are not your own. It's my life. It's not. You've been bought. Present your bodies. It is good to say at this point that one of the most important aspects, one of the most important things, or one of the most important assets of a priest is his body. And what he does with it. Consecration is to limit what you do to your with your body. Only in the service of God. It is service. For instance, you are married. Are you married, sir? But you look married. But anyway, if you are married, as you are sleeping with your wife, you are doing it in service to God. Just in case you are not aware. Except you don't have work again. Your wife is now your work. Some people, their wife is their work. Morning to night. Go and look for a job. That's energy is for working. Not for woman. Anyway. My brother, let me tell you, just in response to what he said, if you have so much sexual appetite, kill that appetite before you marry. The moment you marry, you will find out that your wife does not have the answer to that stupid appetite you are preserving for marriage. Everything about marriage, you are happy because. Yes, of course, woman. Well, of course. I'm saying anybody. Of course. Yeah. Is important. What I'm saying is important. People have skewed ideas about marriage. Let me tell you, if you are not patient enough, that thing you are charging, I give you 15 minutes. You are too, I give you 30 minutes. You are possessed, I give you 1 hour. This marriage that will last for 35 years, maybe no, 40, 60. After 1 hour, you are done. This whole wedding will end in 1 hour. This whole plan. Then, after 1 hour, you just realize that you didn't come in with any other plan. Except to woman. Oh, man. Finally, you are okay. This thing, where person? You go do them. Chibike, one day they will be calling you, you will be running. Yeah, you will be using prayer as an excuse, but I hope it doesn't happen. Anyway. Where did I move? Watch. Your body is very important. And the only person that should have access to it is the person that the spirit you are serving has given license to touch it. Even WhatsApp. I spent so much time on WhatsApp. He does too. But that WhatsApp is a service to God. My discipleship program runs on WhatsApp. I will be avoiding people's chat because I know the level of work if I open their chat. I say, this guy is working process in progress. Let me not open his chat first. Let me wait. When I'm in the right state of mind, I can tackle this one. And they are increasing. You come and spend 3 hours, clear backlogs. Boom. They are increasing. That's what I do with WhatsApp. Not to watch status and feel good. And then when there is no more status to watch, you start snapping breast. You start snapping. Some of you here do it. You snap. You see, you snap your own priest. You open your boxers. You are sex chatting. That's your body. You are using your body to serve something else. That's why God is restricting you from using WhatsApp, from chatting. Let me tell you, the restriction can include relationship. Apostle Aramis gave a testimony, and I can relate with it more. He was invited for a program, and he went there. When he got there and saw what was going on, he realized that he had made a mistake. His discernment was not working well when he accepted this thing. He told himself, at this point, there are two options. Go back or just save the shame. But he said, he felt as if the God inside him was shaking. And the only way to get his peace back was to say, I can't stay. And then, of course, he told them he was leaving. He can't minister. He's sorry. And the persecution that came from that lasted for 2 years. That the only incentive is that he was not at peace. Somebody will be calling me like this, and God will say, don't pick. Don't talk to this person. Don't relate with this person. Me, I want to relate with this person. But they are stopping me. I can't see anything wrong except that something is drawing back. And that's the only reason why. Somebody will ask me for money, and I bring money to send, and they say, don't send this money to this person. Somebody sent me a link. Say he's doing wedding, and I should join. I agreed to join the group. When they sent the link, the spirit I'm serving said, no, don't be in that group. My issue is not how the person will feel. My issue is how to respond to. So I ignored him and said, you should do the meeting. And of course, I've set my WhatsApp in such a way. I took time. I took about 3 hours. I sat down one day, took 3 hours. to one by one. They activate everybody for to remove the right from everybody to add me to a group. Because I just wake up, I'm here. I wake up, I'm here. I wake up, I'm everywhere. So I started removing it. So when he tried to add me, they sent me a link. I didn't join. He felt so offended. But it's not my fault. This my life is only for the service of God. Anytime God interjects, let people be angry. Let people lose out. For me to do something to please somebody, and God is the one. You know, when God finally came and said, Moses, your time is up. Guess what happened? The first person to die is Aaron. Because without Moses, Aaron does not have ministry. So since Moses has ended, let's first go, because your irrelevance has set in. So first go. And secondly, if Moses should die, is it Aaron that will anoint the next high priest? Didn't you see what Aaron was doing from the wilderness till where he died? So you can't afford certain mistakes. Stop making mistakes kissing a woman. That kiss is that kiss in service to God? I know you will marry her, and now you are kissing her out of love. Is that serving? Are you serving God with that kiss? That's why there are restrictions. You can't leave this. You can't do this work, being everything doable. They must cut out certain activities from your life. You can't do everything. That's what I'm saying. You can't relate with everybody. You can't be in every meeting. You can't be in every association. You cannot just be free. Free. Your life must last 2-3 weeks. A colleague of mine, he got a job and he was posted to another. And then he decided that we are the ones that have helped him, and he wants to appreciate us. He took us out, in a joint. The first thing is I didn't know the joint in Oka here. So I called another colleague. I said, this place they say we should meet, because in the night, have you ever been there? He said he knows the place. I said, fine. When you are passing, drive through my house, let me join you. When we got there, we ate the fish and everything, prayed for him. I told her that I've been in Oka for 3 years. This is the first time I'm going out. It's not as if I just stay. Say, I won't go out just to prove a point. There's no time. You are so consumed in the service of God that you don't have time for that. This is the first time I'm going out. Funny enough, I'm living in a place. You've been to my house. I'm living in a place, the center of town. Everybody's living life there. My wife is not there. Nobody is there. I can keep a second wife there. The truth is that there's no temptation to do it. If you notice there's temptation to do it, but you're not doing it, you still have a problem. Just like you're a man, you are married. There's temptation to beat your wife. Say, if I... you still have a problem. One day it will germinate. You need to get to a point where there is quarrel. There is nothing moving to slap. Nothing is moving to beat. That's when you are normal. You have tried to steal before. You just collected the money. As you are leaving, you say, no, I can't do this. But no, God will forgive me. No, I can't do this. You're a thief. And the thing is still inside of you. Deal with it from inside. That's part of what Jesus was saying. Cut it off. Don't cut off your hand. Because person will like woman. Even if you cut off your manhood, when you see the woman, the veins, the arteries there will be jumping up. It's a mind thing now. So even if you cut off your hand, the only thing is that the instrument to do it is not there, but there is also no instrument to serve God. But the seed is still inside. Do you know how you cut it off? I give you an example. I love that Rukendi. Oh, when God told me to stop listening to worldly music, it was one of the hardest things I have to do as a Christian, to stop listening to Drake. to stop listening to R. Kelly. One of the hardest. I said, why can't I serve God and listen? What's wrong is, I believe I can fly. He's not dancing naked. He's decent. They said, no. It took me time. The day I finally deleted his songs. If you cut off my hand that day, it would have been a better thing. Oh, I love that, okay. You don't know what love I had for them. And they say, stop listening to this man. Stop listening to this man. How can I? And so, I had to delete the song from my phone and left it in my laptop for another 2 years. Before it finally went, that cut it off. Some of you love movies. They're now running around. Pastor, what is wrong in watching movie? Pastor, there's nothing wrong. When you come back to pray, they say, stop watching movie. Any day you open movie is not like a sin. Something is judging you for watching movie. And all your fellow brothers are laughing, jumping, happy. Hey! And you are under judgment. Is the spirit you are serving calling you out? Come out from amongst them. Come out from amongst them. Separate from them. You are special. You can't be in this. Come out. You enter another smaller place, they come and draw you out. They keep drawing you out until one day it's only you and God. Nothing else. That time you can do every other thing and drop it. Like football. My father did not beat me for any other thing except football. He bought DSTV full subscription. Smart TV full subscription. Say, stay at home and watch it. After staying at home, the score go, nobody shouting. No, it's not fun. It's not fun. I will start the match. My father will come and check and pass. I know it's me they are checking. They come and check. I just tell myself, 35 minutes, I'm out of this house. 35 minutes. My father will check. After checking, he notice I'm not watching. I will jump first and go and watch. As soon as I enter the place, they will hear me. Because now we they analyze the ball. We know all the records. They will hear, where have you been? If you have been here, this place would have been lively. I say, I don't come. We say, hey, yeah, we sit down. I said, can I be here? What is happening? Hey, see, look on the Runio Naboga, Tevez. Oh, what's it? Wiz, you know, you'll be talking as if you are part of. Eh? And they say, stop watching, bro. Come out from there. Is it not to cut off my head? Is it not better? You have refused to cut that enough. So your eye will keep. Your eye is your judgment now. You are now in judgment. So finally, present your bodies a living sacrifice. What is a living sacrifice? What is a living sacrifice? Holy and acceptable. Put it for me. Which is your reasonable service? Let me try to reach something. What's a living sacrifice? A living sacrifice is one that has been offered to a deity without being killed. But is left alive to serve that deity. The sacrifice has been offered, but is alive without being killed. The fact that you are not killed does not mean you will not die. You are alive to serve the deity, but you are dead to every other thing. Everything you do with your life now must be in service to that spirit you were offered to. That's, you have been sacrificed, but you are still alive to serve. Service. And everything you do with your life after that sacrifice must be in service to that deity, including work. There is a place your work will get to. That spirit will tell you to resign. There are certain works you can keep, there are the ones you cannot do. I'm just citing many examples to talk about restrictions. God wants to use you only for his service. I'll give you examples. The first living sacrifice you record in the scripture is Isaac. The moment Abraham took Isaac to that altar, you see, God wants to act a movie, but he's acting a script. He's writing the script. Eh? The moment Abraham took Isaac and laid him on that altar, he has set the stage for the redemption of man. And the moment Isaac willingly, at 33 years, followed his father, because at 33 you can beat your father, and lay down on that altar, they've set the stage for redemption. God now turns, Abraham, I swear. I swear. Set the stage. Another example is Samuel. Open First Samuel for me. Samuel was the window through which the priesthood moved from the tribe of Levi to the tribe of Ephraim. I hope you know Samuel is not a Levite. Are you aware already? In his days, the last Levite was Eli and his sons. The thing shifted. If God will get that kind of transition, he will have to find a living sacrifice. You have been sacrificed, but you are alive for service. Eh? That your life is the only thing God can use to do some of the transitions you are praying for. You know, there is a trend running in your family, for example, and you want to transit to this. God will need a living sacrifice. It's of so much value. But that's how God can achieve certain things in priesthood. I'll give one example first. Go to Judges chapter 11. Judges chapter 11. I need to round up now. I'll read Judges, I'll read 1 Samuel, and I'll stop. Judges chapter 11, because of time. Verse 30. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, be moving fast with me, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house, put it in good news. Put it in good news and start afresh. 31, 30. 30. If you give me victory over the Ammonites, you are slow. I will burn as an offering the first person that comes out of my house to meet me. When I come back from the victory, I will offer that person to you as a sacrifice. Go. So Jephthah crossed the river and fought them. Go. 33. He struck them and he defeated them. 34. When Jephthah went back home, there was his daughter coming out to meet him, dancing and playing the tambourine. She was his only child. Verse 35. When he saw her, he tore his clothes in sorrow and said, oh, my daughter, you are breaking my heart. Why must it be you that causes me pain? I've made a solemn promise to the Lord and I cannot take it back. 36. She told him, if you have made a promise to the Lord, do what you said you would do to me, since the Lord has given you revenge on your enemies, the Ammonites. Verse 37. But she asked her father, do this one thing for me. Leave me alone for 2 months, that I will go and play with my friends. I must die a virgin. Like some girls, they don't want to die virgin. It's better for you than to die seeing the hell of marriage. But marry. He told her to go and sent her away for 2 months. She and her friends went up into the mountains and grieved because she was going to die. Her only problem is that she will not marry. Verse 39. After 2 months, she came back to her father. He did what he promised to the Lord, and she died still a virgin. So this is a dead sacrifice. She was actually killed. But there are some people they didn't kill. They left them alive. They are uncaged. That spirit, they put them on the altar to offer. They are now stuck to serving. What Christians do is that after being sacrificed, they are still serving, doing other things. You don't have many options again. Everything, work, marriage, everything must be in service to that spirit. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 11, my last scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 11. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19. The next morning, Elkanah and his family got up early, and after worshiping the Lord, they went back home to Ramah. Elkanah had intercourse with his wife Hannah, and the Lord answered his prayer. Verse 20. So it was that she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel and explained, "I asked the Lord for him." 21. The time came again for Elkanah and his family to go to Shiloh and offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice that the special sacrifice he had promised. But this time Hannah did not go. She told her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will take him to the house of the Lord." Where he will stay what? Where he will stay what? There is nothing else he's going to do except serving God. That's consecration. 20, next verse, just Elkanah answered, "All right, do whatever you think best, forget about him." 24. After she had weaned him, she took him to Shiloh, taking along what they need for the statutory sacrifices. 25. After they did all that, 26. Hannah said to him, "This with Eli, remember me, the woman you saw praying to the Lord." Verse 27. "I asked him for a child, and he gave me what I asked for." So I'm dedicating him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he will belong to the Lord. This is what some of you have said: "My life is yours." But that's not what your action is speaking. In essence, your life is for God and for many other things. What I'm saying in these 50 days is, the way you have made out time to come and pursue God like this, use this your life in service only to God. You need to take an inventory. You will find out some things you are doing that is not contributing anything to your service to God. Those are part of the things that God is saying you should stop. You should stop. You go for wedding, Ashebi. God can tell you your season of doing Ashebi is over. There's one of my daughters that went. When she came, I said, "They called you to come and do Ashebi. You went." He said, "He's a friend." I said, "There are things you grow above." There are things you should grow above. Sometimes the person calling you to do Ashebi is an unbeliever. It's just that you poor classmates. You carry yourself. A priest of God. It's not that it's wrong anyway. You go and wear nightgown, wear those things. You say you're doing bad.
It's bad. It's bad.
A priest of God. You join them. If I see Chidima there, I will be disappointed. If I see any other person, it's normal. It's normal. Some of you is normal. What do I expect from you? You are light. You are not serious now. But if I see Odinaka there, the thing will pain me. I say, this one that is mighty in the hands of God, how can she strip before video in the midst of these fouls? It's an ego. That's how you reduce yourself. And most times, God will be drawing you from going. Drawing you from... You don't belong here. You are no longer permitted to do this, but you want to do it. You love it. You love it. You need to observe the restrictions that have been put in your path as a Christian. And this is your walk with God. I'm going to stop here and allow you to take some decisions. accept this living sacrifice. I am your worship. Receive this living sacrifice. To touch your head. This person looking so dead. Don't surrender your head for him because you want to look good. Find a Christian, even if they don't barb it well. God is interested in his priest too. He can't allow you to be everywhere, but you want to be everywhere. Somebody making your hair, she's an unbeliever. She's a witch. Just carry and do your hair. You want to look good. That's why you surrendered your head to a witch. You can see the kind of calls she's answering. You can see the kind of spirit she brings into your space, or how your spirit is dampened when you enter her space. You sit down there for hours. You are making hair. And God is restricting you from this place you are going to. But you are available for everything. Write down some of those things that God has stopped you from doing. You need to take, document them and make a commitment to abide by them. Write down everything that God is restricting you from doing in your line of service. You need to abide by those restrictions so that you can be effective. Don't finish 50 days. Gather the whole thing and go and waste it in frivolous activities that are not needed in your line of activity. You must preserve every deposit that comes in here by using your life only for what God has decided you should use it for. And that's when you observe, that is when you can say you are consecrated. I pray that God will give you ear, both physically and in your heart. Jesus said, those that have the ear is in your heart. So you can shut it or you decide to hear. You will not be effective in your line of service until you avoid everything the spirit you are serving have asked you to avoid. No matter how legitimate, no matter how harmless they are. That's my message for you this evening. Go ahead and pray in the spirit.
Wherever you are, kneel down, raise up your hand, cry to Jesus. All of you, you need help. Nobody is exempted, my friend. Accept this series, sacrifice. Whether you are following me online, find a place and kneel down and cry to God.
Accept this living sacrifice. Receive this living sacrifice. Jesus. Receive this living sacrifice. I am your worship. Accept this living sacrifice. I am your worship.
Sister, you need to cry.
Receive this. Jesus,
you need to cry, sister.
I am your worship.
Pastor, you need to cry, pastor. This message is for you, man of God.
We see this living sacrifice. I am your worship. I accept this. Receive this living sacrifice. I am your worship. Receive this living sacrifice. I am.
The Holy Ghost is telling me there is a sister still resisting him. You are resisting him.
Receive this way.
You are resisting him. You are resisting. You will not be able to make progress until you surrender.
Accept this living sacrifice. This living sacrifice. I am your worship. Accept this living sacrifice. I am your worship.
But believe God's word came to you with accuracy and power. To connect with the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edude Chukwu, with unlimited access to life-transforming messages, visit www.revivalhubinternational.org. Follow us on all social media platforms at Revival Hub International. For inquiries and partnership, email us at revivalhubglobal@gmail.com.